I'm celebrity events planner and entrepreneur Liz Taylor. And on this season of Events That Made Me, you're going to hear from some really inspiring women. Women who have overcome adversity, who have made sacrifices, and who have soared to the top of their careers. And you'll be getting my two pence worth in along the way too. Today, you're going to hear from my friend Sally Dinover. My favourite thing about Sally is that she always, always seems to have a massive smile on her face. Sally made her TV debut in Juliet Bravo in 1985. And a year later, she joined the cast of Coronation Street, where she's been ever since. Sally was only 13 when she discovered acting, and I wanted to know why that was one of the events that made her.
Coming from a very working class background, I lived in Oldham. My parents had, you know, very normal jobs, and I was at school and absolutely hated school. I think I sat and looked out of the window most of the time, which is now, when I look back, so unfortunate. I think the only class I enjoyed was my English class because I had a lovely English teacher. One day, I just got on the bus to Oldham and went to David Johnson's theatre workshop for children. And I walked in the room and it changed my life. David Johnson made me realise that I could be anybody. I didn't need to go work in the factory or be a hairdresser or do something that I didn't particularly wanted to do. I could be whoever I wanted to be if I just tried.
Was it your parents that influenced you to go? I mean, you didn't just wake up on when you were 13 and think, actually, I'm going to drama school, or did you?
No, well, that's interesting because I think I must have heard about it from somebody. My parents didn't know anything about drama. They'd never really went to the theatre or to the cinema or anything. They didn't really understand what I was doing. But no, I think someone must have told me about it, and I turned up at this class and I just really enjoyed it. And David made me realise that actually you can do anything. You just have to. And that's when I realised that this is what I'm going to do. And I went back to school and said to my English teacher, I'm going to be an actress. And she said, don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. You're dreaming. And I thought, yeah, I am dreaming, but that's the only thing I want to do. There is nothing else that I want to do. All the jobs you've said, I don't want to do any of those things. I want to be an actress and I'm going to do it.
If you could turn the clock back, Sal, and you just said, you know, yeah, you wish that you hadn't looked out of the window and you wish that you studied at school, what one thing other than being an actress would you have chosen to do?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I don't know, because I love the arts and I have to be in something creative. But I just wish that as a child, I'd read more and understood more, and I'd taken, you know, history. Like I went to look around the unis with Hattie, and you know, you can do history and sciences, and I got really excited by it all. So I think there will be a point in my life when I find time to sort of go back to school, even in a late age. But I just wish I'd probably done it when I was younger.
And also, it's interesting because I know you've just come back from a fabulous holiday in Italy, in Rome and Florence, which is absolutely steeped in history and art and culture. And I suppose, like you, I wish I'd taken more notice of what was there. You don't, you know, you're only thinking about what you're going to wear on a Saturday night, aren't you, if you're going out? And it's true, we're all the same. If I had my time again, I would be a barrister. That's what I wish I'd done, because I like a good argument. But listen, we're very fortunate to have pursued things that we love, because a lot of people do
Absolutely.
Not have that privilege.
No, and that's the old saying about you never do a day's work in your life when you love what you do, and it's so true.
Exactly. And so you go to drama class at 13 and all of a sudden you're evolved yeah. and surrounded. And I know that David Johnson was key to getting a lot of the cast in the soaps. A lot of the talented guys that went there. So you were obviously immersed in that whole competitive, exciting environment. And then the yeah. second thing you gave me, which I found really intriguing and I want to understand, is Elsie. Who is she? Why is she so significant? And why is she, or was she, such an inspiration to you?
So I did David Johnson's, but then when I was 17, I went down to London and went to drama school. And when I left, in those days, you could never get a job unless you had an equity card. So I bought The Stage, which was a magazine, a newspaper in those days. And in The Stage, they said they were looking for singers in an old-time music hall in a pub in King's Cross. You got paid £8 a night, but it would work towards a contract, an equity card. You had to get three professional contracts before you could get an equity card. So I did old-time music hall for probably a year, singing all the old-time music hall songs. And then one summer after I was working with them, they said, we're going to America. We're going to do a tour of the West Coast. And it's all set up by this lady called Elsie from England, who was a travel agent, but also really interested. She was from the East End, really interested in the theatre and the arts. And anyway, she brought our company over to America. And I met her, and wow, I was just blown away. She was probably the kindest woman I've ever met in my whole life. And she adopted lots of children. She fostered lots of children. She was like the warmest person I'd ever met. And I just thought she was so beautiful. I mean, she was probably in her 60s when I met her. And she died in her 80s very recently. But she was a massive influence on my life, just in very small ways. But I always knew she was there for me, and she was very caring and loving. And
was she sort of your guardian angel?
She was my guardian angel, actually. I'd never really thought of it like that. She was.
Did she share your success, Sally?
She did, and she became Phoebe's godmother. So she shared a little bit of Phoebe's as well. She was so excited about Bridgerton coming out. And she watched Coronation Street as much as she possibly could over there. But she was a great champion of mine, and she was just a very special person.
Elsie gave Sally the confidence to believe in herself. And you can see how Sally looked to her for guidance. The mentorship Sally got from Elsie reminds me of Sandy Lindsay, MBE, who I spoke to in season 4 of Events That Made Me. Sandy is another inspirational woman who's found loads of success in business. Let's hear what she puts that success down to.
It's always people for me. You surround yourself with brilliant people and you can't fail. And that's whether you want to grow a business and have people that you actually employ, or even if you just decide you want to be a freelancer, you can still surround yourself with brilliant people in your network, you know, with mentors, informal and formal. So I always say to people, no matter what sort of business you're in, if you surround yourself with brilliant people, you can't fail.
So who's your mentor in life? Who's fighting your corner? And are you surrounding yourself with brilliant people? I love being a mentor. I love sharing my knowledge and I love helping people grow. I've been involved with the Prince's Trust, who mentor young people, and with the BBC in Working Girls, where I had to mentor a young lady for 7 days. And what surprised me was that I got just as much out of it as she did. Now, Sally has had a long-standing role on the cobbles, and she's been awarded a number of accolades for it. But 2009 brought one of Sally's most demanding and poignant storylines, when her character was diagnosed with breast cancer. Sally told me why this was one of the events that made her.
So reading the scripts for Corrie, and my character had breast cancer, and I was thrilled I was playing this storyline because my next door neighbour had breast cancer, and I thought this was a really, really important issue. So I was really, you know, very sort of doing lots of research, talking to lots of people about it. And I was already a patron of Prevent Breast Cancer, which is our charity here in the Northwest. So I asked them lots of questions. They were actually helping Lester Barr, my surgeon, was actually helping Coronation Street win the scripts. He was doing, helping them with their research. And there was one afternoon where I had lots of scenes to learn and I locked myself away in my dressing room. And I thought, oh gosh, I wonder if I should just go and be checked if by our nerves here at ITV, because playing such a storyline, you just never know if it, you know, you never know. So I went to see her and I said, I've got something, it's tiny. I said, it's just here, it's nothing to worry about, I'm sure, but can you look at it? She said, straight away, you need to go and see Lester Bart. I'm going to ring him today and you need to see him tonight. And I was like, well, it's a bit of a waste of time because I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. It's fine. She went, no, no, you have to go. You have to go. We just need to be doubly sure that it's okay. So I go and see Lester and Lester has a little look at it. Bearing in mind, this is the tiniest, like a flat pea that was quite hard in the center of my breast. I went to see Lester and I was chatting away about the scripts and how the show was going and it was all great. And he had a look and he said he knew at that moment, as soon as he saw it, that it was breast cancer. But he said to me, I'm going to send it off for a biopsy and I'll let you know on Friday. And I said, oh gosh, don't let me know on Friday because I'm so busy on Friday with all these scenes where Sally tells Kevin she's got breast cancer. So I really don't want to know on Friday. And he said, well, I think you should come in on Friday evening and I'll stay here for you. We'll chat. And he said, well, bring Tim because it'd be really nice to see him. I thought, that's really weird. Why would I want to bring Tim? But anyway, okay, I'll bring Tim. So I go and I don't tell anyone at work that I've had this. Only the nurse on Corrie knew, but I didn't tell anybody else. I didn't tell Michael or anyone that this was happening. So we'd done all the scenes where Sally tells Kevin she's got breast cancer and I was very pleased with the way it had gone. Jumped in the car, met Tim at the hospital. And then Lester sat me down and said, I'm so sorry to tell you, you've got breast cancer. And I just fainted. And then I woke up on the bed with Tim and Lester there. And I said to Lester, I think you've got it wrong. I haven't got breast cancer. That's my character, but I haven't got it. And he said, I'm afraid to tell you, you have. And I was like, this is the most surreal moment of my whole life. Art imitating my life is just, this is bizarre. Hattie was only 6 or something at the time. She was only little. So I got into the car and I broke down like, I've never cried so much before. And all I kept thinking was the children. What am I going to tell the children? How are we going to explain this to our 3 children? And Tim was amazing because he said things like, you know, we've got a good diagnosis. You know, we're going to get this lump taken away and then it'll be over. I mean, it wasn't over in the end because I had to have chemo and then it had gone to my lymph glands. So it had got worse. And Tim said, we must be honest with them from the very, very beginning. We have to tell the children, but we'd put a positive look on it. So I went back that night and of course the kids were all running around and Phoebe and Sam came in and we sat them down and said, you know, I've got breast cancer, but it's all going to be fine. You mustn't worry. Of course, they were so upset. Hattie, of course, had no idea because she was only little, so she didn't know. But then it was, what do I do about work? Oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of this story. What do I say? So I rang our producer, Kim Crowther. She was amazing. I said, look, Kim, I'm having the operation and then I'm back. So just give me 3 days off and then I'm coming back. I want to play this story. It's really important. She said, okay, well, we'll be guided by what you want to do. So then I had the lump taken away, but then it had traveled to my lymph glands, which is when I realized. Then they took me to the Christie and said, this is where you'll be for the next 6 months having chemo. And I just thought I had to give up on work. I thought, now I have to deal with my life. I can't worry about Sally Webster at this moment.
How lucky were you? Because had you not had that storyline, the likelihood of it being caught so early was slim. And I think, you know, I find it just a fascinating story because it's fate. If ever you believe in fate, and it puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? It prioritises, you know, no one's invincible. No one can take anything for granted. Everyone has kids and commitments. And, you know, you look around you now, look at what Kate Garraway has gone through and Julia Bradbury and all these people. No one is invincible. And I do a lot of work with Marina Dalgleish. I support her ball every year. And I think she's raised, I don't know, millions and millions because she had breast cancer. She's opened a unit. And it's unfortunately, it's rife.
Yeah, I mean, you see, you never think that anything like this is going to happen to you. So when it does, it's just a massive shock. Lester said that's normal, that people don't think it's going to happen to them because it's their way of protecting themselves. And I completely understand that. But now I just say to any woman, you know, you must check. You must check. And if there's the tiniest little thing that you think is nothing, go and get it checked out, because you just, honestly, if you were like me, I left that little lump for a few months, probably 6 months.
I think that we get you doing that old music hall act where you sing all those old seaside songs and we do a ladies' lunch raising money for breast cancer, because I think that would be fabulous. I want you in that, all the big hat and the whole thing. That would be absolutely brilliant. Brilliant.
Now, oh, listen. My God. No, Liz. I've not sung since I was...
Come on. That would be fabulous. 18. I love all that musical stuff.
Sometimes it's easy to take things for granted. It's easy to think, that's never going to happen to me. But when you get to a certain age, like what I am right now, you realise that you can never rest on your laurels. I have always ensured that I have never, ever taken anything for granted, whether that be in business, health, or family. Sally is inspiring because even when it did happen to her, she attacked it with that same feisty determination that shone through when she was just 13 years old. Sally mentioned how her husband Tim was there with her through her cancer diagnosis and treatment. So obviously, I wanted to hear all about their relationship and how they met.
Tim's mum worked on Coronation Street, so that's how I met Tim. And Tim's dad directed Coronation Street in the very early 60s. So it's a very strange circle. This has come round that, you know, the whole family. Josh, my brother-in-law, used to work on Coronation Street as well. So it's very strange that we're all in the business. But I met Tim through his mum. And Tim actually had a girlfriend at this point, and we just became very, very good friends. So every time I'd go to London, I'd ring him and say, I'm in London. And we'd say, let's go to the theatre or the cinema. We were just best friends. And then we actually got together. I mean, I just didn't think he liked me like that. I just thought he wanted to be my friend. So it was really, really lovely when we actually did get together.
How old were you when you met?
So we must have been about 26, 27.
And am I right in thinking you've got a big 6-0 next year?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Can't believe we're going to be 60 next year.
I know. I'm very excited. Where did the years go? We might be having we could have a party at the Stamford Arms. Just tell me.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Does he write, Sally? Does Tim still write? He's a writer, isn't he?
Yes, he is. So he's writing lots of different projects. He's writing a project at the moment with a lovely actor called Richard Armitage. They're doing a book that Richard had done the audio for. But he's written so many dramas and projects. But, you know, it's so hard to get things greenlit in this industry. And then sometimes they are greenlit and then something goes wrong. So, you know, you just have to keep plugging away. And that's what Tim is doing. He works sometimes day and night on projects. He's passionate about it. And he's very clever. He's very bright. I love being around him. I get to understand all sorts of things through Tim. And I love his scripts. And I just know that, you know, one day, one of these will actually go, and that'll be great for Tim.
Well, while he's plodding away in the study, you then go totally off kilter and burst onto our screens in Dancing on Ice. The one that made me laugh, the one that I felt sorry for you the most, was when they made you do that stupid Sound of Music thing. I didn't like that. I thought the costume, I thought, oh my God. Because there is a look of Julie Andrews, and Julie Andrews is very pretty and very gorgeous, but I didn't like that at all. Tell me about that. What made you decide to compete? Because have you been asked to go on I'm a Celebrity?
No, I haven't, because usually people say, oh, we won't ask Sally because she'd never do it, because I never do any of these things. But Dancing on Ice had actually come to me and said, would you do it? And I said, oh, I'd really like to, but I just don't think I could. And then every year, Hattie and I would sit and watch Dancing on Ice, and Hattie would say, "You have to do this, Mum." And I thought, actually, I do have to do this. And what am I teaching my daughters if I say I'm not doing it because I'm too scared? Anyway, after the third year, they came to me, and I had to turn it down because one was COVID, and one was I went to Everest with breast cancer and did Base Camp Everest. So there were 2 years where I actually couldn't do it, and the first year I turned it down. But I suddenly thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So I said yes, I signed on the dotted line. Oh my gosh, Liz, I was so worried about it. Honestly, I just thought, what am I doing? Is this the right thing to be doing? What if I make a fool of myself? Or this is the first time that people are going to get to know Sally Dinover as opposed to my character. I've never really put myself out there. I'm quite happy just doing my job and going home. I'm not really one for the limelight sort of thing. So this was really putting myself out of my comfort zone. But I have to say, it's been the best thing I've ever done. And I would say to anyone, if you're thinking about doing something and it's really scary, just do it. Because being out of my comfort zone was almost the best place to be, especially at this age when I've, you know, done Coronation Street for such a long time. To do something different was just amazing.
Had you ever skated before?
Never.
I'm just interested, had you ever been asked to go on Strictly?
Well, because I work for ITV, unless you leave Coronation Street and you don't have a contract with the ITV, you can't do BBC. So, no, I've never been asked to do that. But, I mean, obviously, I would love to do that because that's not on ice.
Exactly. That was why I was asking you, because, I mean, it's difficult. And I remember when Anthony Cotton was on it, he invited me down. You know, you sort of go and you think you're going to this whole glamorous film set, but it's actually a tent in a field and it's freezing cold. And it's typical yes. TV, you know, when you have to smile, clap and laugh, and these poor figurines are dancing around on the ice. I mean, it is challenging. And some of the things that you made, I mean, how many weeks were you in? You were in about six,
seven.
Seven weeks.
Yeah, I honestly, it's the best thing. I loved it. And do you know what I loved as well? Watching these professional ice skaters doing their routines, Dan Whiston and Karen Barber, amazing. You know, just watching these young people jump in the air and spin, and you're sort of part of it. It was just so exciting. And oh, of course, I've got to mention the wigs. Oh. They did it for me, Liz. I loved it. Give me a long red wig anytime. And the makeup, oh my God, it was fabulous.
I thought the dressing of everybody was absolutely brilliant. But as I said, the only one I didn't like was that Julie Andrews number. I thought that was terrible. And then, of course, we can't leave without talking about the MBE.
Yes.
Go on, tell me about that, for your contribution to drama.
Yes, it was. But I think when they look at it, they look at also the work you might have done for charity. So I think it has a little bit to do with the work I'd done with Prevent. But yes, it was mainly for 35 years in drama.
And who presented it to you?
So it was Princess Anne. And oh my gosh, she was so lovely. I felt as though I could have just had to sit down and have a little natter with her. She was really nice. She said to me, "So how long have you been in the show?" And I said, "Oh, well, 36 years, Mom." And she said, "That's a very long time." I said, I know it is. And then she said, "Now you're doing Dancing on Ice. What's making you do that? That's very scary." I said, "I know it is." So we were chatting away for ages. And then as I walked away, I said to the chap who took me to her, "I think she's given me the medal." And he said, "Oh, no, it's on your jacket." We were chatting so much, I didn't even notice her putting it on my jacket. She was so nice. I mean, it was a very quick, I think because of COVID and everything, it was a very quick event. You know, it was in and out, really. But Tim and I had a lovely morning. But then I went straight back to Dancing on Ice and Tim came back to Manchester. So we didn't really get a chance to sort of celebrate the occasion. But, I mean, it's lovely. And I'm going to have to do something. I don't want it in this box in my bottom drawer by my bedside. I need to put it in a frame or do something with it, put it in the loo or something.
Absolutely, you need to put it in a frame. You must have loads of awards there to stick in the everyone puts them in the toilet, don't they? Have these glass cabinets in the toilet so that when you can have a wee, you can look at all the awards. It's brilliant. Sally, if you could say one thing to that 13-year-old girl that jumped on the bus to go to drama lessons, what would it be?
To not worry as much as I have about things and to have more confidence in myself, which I know you think I'm pretty confident, but I'm not really. So I think I'd say to myself, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be good.
If you could do one thing on your bucket list, what would it be? You've been very clever because to all of us outside, you've got it all. And you've faced your challenges. You're very successful. Maybe a little bit underestimated because people see you 3 times a week as Sally Webster and actually don't really know the Sally. If there was one thing you could do, what would it be?
Well, I think I've always wanted to do some theatre, but also travel, Liz. And as I get older, I just want to travel. I just want to see all the places I've never been to and experience different cultures and different people's lives. I'm just interested in other cultures. So I would love to travel, I think.
And do you think we'll ever see you on screen with Phoebe?
Oh, gosh, that would be a dream. I would love that. I hope so. That would be amazing. Or on the stage with her. I don't know. I would like to do something with her, of course. Yeah.
Well, I think that's where we bring it to a close, because I think we'd all love to see you on stage with your daughter. I think that would be an amazing achievement for you, for her, and for you as a mum. I have huge respect for you. I think you are a really very special person, and I am definitely going to get you down by the old Bull and Bush in your outfit singing for breast cancer. You can watch this space. Tickets will be available shortly. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you for having me.
I'm inspired by Sally because she takes herself out of her comfort zone. And so make sure that you listen to the Air Extension. That's a bonus episode where I tell you how taking yourself out of your comfort zone can change your life. Please give the podcast a 5-star rating wherever you're listening and follow me on Instagram at Liz Taylor Consultancy. Come back on September the 22nd when I'll be talking to another inspirational woman, and I know you won't want to miss it. See you then.